We'd like to welcome Chris Nelson, who is part of Moravian Seminary. Chris, would you raise your hand? She's come all the way from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for our concert. And she'll be available after the concert for you to meet. We also have here Nola Knaus, who is head of the Moravian Music Foundation. She's actually singing with us tonight, and she will be giving a few pointers about the Moravian customs. Did I mention everything that we needed, Ms. Jandine? All right, well, we're so delighted that the Door County Trombone Ensemble is here. Now, they love to go by the Bone Boys, but I know there's a Bone Girl there, too. So they will begin us with a prelude.
Thank you so much for coming to this afternoon. We've been spending some time getting ready for you, and we're happy to see you. This is the fifth year that we have joined our three choirs, Sturgeon Bay, Sister Bay, and Ephraim Moravian Churches. We are privileged to have a few extra singers with us. We have at least one Unitarian, one Lutheran, and one Episcopalian, and we're mighty glad to have them. We thought you might like to know a little bit about this music. It is historical in two ways. First, because it's old. And second, because the compilation of it and the singing of it first happened to commemorate the end of the Revolutionary War. I'm quite sure that none of you were here to hear that first performance. On April 19th, word reached Salem in 1783 that a treaty of peace ending the Revolutionary War had been agreed upon in Paris. The war had been very hard on the little band of Moravians who lived in Salem, some of whom had lived there since 1753. You see, they were pacifists, and they weren't able or wanting to bear arms on either side. 2 months later, after the signing of that proclamation, the governor of North Carolina issued a proclamation. This was June 18th. Think about the spacing here. June 18th, 1783. He declared that July 4th, 1783, would be a day of solemn thanksgiving for the end of the conflict. That's 2 weeks away. Now, giving thanks was something the Moravians were very delighted to be a part of, but this proclamation just gave them those two measly weeks to get ready. Fortunately, there was a man living in Salem who was probably the finest composer in America of that day. His name was Johann Friedrich Peter. Although he did not compose any music in that two-week period, he selected and assembled the texts and the music for the celebration, and he may have written some of the texts. Listen for the words like nation, joy, unity, and peace is repeated many times. They were thrilled that the war was over. The celebration that they had in Salem was a day-long affair, beginning with a trombone choir, not these exact trombones, awakening the village at daybreak with chorales. Next was a 10 a.m. service beginning with the joyful singing of the traditional Te Deum, accompanied by trombones. An afternoon service began with a love feast at 2, and then the singing in German of the work you will hear shortly in English, although 2 of the solos are sung in German today. It is a cantata-like work with parts for soloists and choristers. All the music had been selected by Mr. Peter from the Moravian Music Library, but I think you may recognize a few tunes. At 8 p.m. that night, the congregation assembled again. The choir sang Christian Gregor's Praise Be to Thee, after which the people gathered in front of the church and, led by trombones, they marched in a torchlight procession through the town. As they walked, they sang chorales antiphonally. The women would sing one line and the men would sing the next line. Thus ended an extraordinary day, an observance that is believed to be the first organized celebration of Independence Day held in the entire nation. We hope you enjoy the music.
Thank you. I bring you greetings from the Moravian Music Foundation, with headquarters in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and also an office in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It is a delight to be somewhere where it is not 90 degrees and humid. The Moravian music tradition is one of participation. It is not a culture of professional musicians performing for a passive audience. You all are participants in this afternoon's program, whether or not you be singing. You are actively listening. You are, we hope, worshiping with us as we sing and play. The Moravian musical tradition goes back many hundreds of years to John Huss, to followers of Huss who founded their new church community in the middle of the 15th century, a community built on basic principles of Christian living, living in community, worshiping and singing in the language of the people, singing all the time. That tradition carried on into Germany and the renewal of the church in the 18th century. You've already heard mention by Linda of the 1783 Day of Solemn Thanksgiving on July the 4th, 1783, when the congregation were awakened by the trombones calling them to get up in the morning and begin this worship. The use of trombone choirs to announce special events in Moravian communities goes back at least 300 years, if not farther. We can document it back to the 1730s, actually a little earlier than that, 1720s in Herrnhut, Germany. The trombones were used to wake up the congregation for special occasions, festive days before the Easter dawn service. They were used to welcome visitors to town. They were used to announce special services and play hymns as groups went off to work in the fields, remembering that the Moravians of that time would have had several hundred hymn stanzas committed to memory. When you heard the trombones playing a tune, you couldn't help but think of the words. So what the trombone choirs did for us was expand our liturgical space to encompass as far as the sound carried. Another important part of that tradition was to play for the death of a member. Congregations of the trombone choirs played at funerals, and in many communities, Moravian trombone choirs or brass bands still play for funerals outside, play at the graveside. They would announce the death of a congregation member to the congregation by going to the highest point in town, perhaps the church belfry, and they would play three tunes. The first one would be the tune that we know is the Passion Chorale now, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. The second tune they played would be one associated with the age, sex, and marital status of the person who died. And that tune, everybody in the congregation knew that if you heard this specific tune, oh, it was a little girl. Well, I knew young sister Henrietta has been sick. She must have been called to the Savior's more immediate presence. Or as the Moravians would put it, she must have fallen asleep in the Lord. And then the third chorale again would be the tune we know as O Sacred Head Now Wounded. But what came to your mind then were different words. We're going to hear the trombones today do a death announcement for us. And if that sounds like a weird thing to do in a joyful concert, think about the words. We're going to ask you to sing the first and third chorales. They are on the back of your program. The first words you will sing is, "A pilgrim us preceding in grace has been called home." Look at the third line. Oh, joy, the chains to sever which burden pilgrims here to dwell with Christ forever, who to our souls is dear. Then the trombones will play the chorale associated with the married brothers. If a married brother died, they would play the tune that has these words associated with it. Jesus ne'er forsaketh me, this my spirit greatly cheereth, and my constant trust shall be. Yea, though death at length appeareth, herein precious comfort lies, I shall in his image rise. Those are not sad words. A funeral for a Moravian is still an occasion of the joy that that beloved person is now in the near presence of the Savior. There is loss for us. We do not minimize the grief. but we also recognize that to die, for us to live is Christ, to die is gain. To die is to move into the Savior's more immediate presence. And these are the words that you will sing when the trombone choir plays the Passion Chorale again. They are on the backside. Dear Lord, when I am dying, do not depart from me. And that last line, memorize that and keep it in your heart. The one who dies believing dies safely through his love. Let us celebrate the life of everyone that we have known and lost as they now dwell in the Savior's more immediate presence.
Our offering tonight will be taken for the work of the Moravian Music Foundation. Each time they seek to publish an anthem, and they publish many during the year, it costs about $800 for each publication, and our offering tonight will go help that cause, and then I think we might even get to pick the anthem, and we'll hope to sing it here at Ephraim, and it'll have our name on it. I think that's really cool. So we're going to take up the offering. If you'd like to make out a check, you can either make it to the Moravian Music Foundation or Ephraim Moravian Church. Either way, it's a tax-deductible contribution, and our trombone choir will be playing during our offertory. We're so grateful for the work that went into this program. We're so grateful for Hal and Kim, our accompanists. They were just marvelous. We're so grateful for Cynthia Steele lending her talents, and to the Bone Boys and girls, that are just lovely. We're also, I have to say, this is a lady who does not like to take any credit, but if it wasn't for Jen Dean Olson, this would not happen. Jen Dean, we're so grateful. We ask that you remain seated. The Bone Boys are going to do two pieces. One is listed. Are you doing the other one? Just do one, okay. They're going to do our postlude, and then we invite you all for refreshments in the fellowship hall.